Welcome, welcome, welcome to our series, our meaningful series. This is a meaningful series, and labeling it meaningful series means we can't lose. It's going to be meaningful, right? No matter what we say, because it's a meaningful series. Do you wonder about meaning in your life? Do you hope for meaning in your life, or is it just okay to hope for a lot of happiness? Our culture and all the different things we're exposed to would certainly push that button in our heart to think, oh, if I have this toothpaste, I will have a brighter smile and I'll have the boyfriend for me that I can get because then I'll be happy. Or if I buy this car, if I buy that outfit, or if I am able to do this, or I'm able to do that, or if I get this job, or if I make this much money. Well, you get the point is that this message is your life needs to be happy. Well, we think Pastor Fritz and Melissa Jacobson, the director of our youth and family ministry, and the one you don't see yet when she comes in will be Ellen Funt, who is the director of our children and family ministry. And Pastor Fritz, we hope and pray that there will be a meaningfulness search in your heart just through the different topics that are brought up. Because we really do believe that this congregation welcomes people and makes the place a place of belonging. One of the top four things that one who searches for meaning, they want to belong somewhere. Another one is that they want to connect to something beyond themselves. Well, I think the church is about the best place you can do that, to realize that God has us in his care. And as you go through that search for meaning, I told the service over there, I said, well, you know, last night my sermon and their sermon was fine. My part of it ran long. And so it was because I wanted to give examples of people through history that had searched for meaning. Look it up. Just thought I'd throw that out. In other words, there's so much out there because it's been a lifetime kind of look. A historical look since early people. Okay, so what then is the purpose of meaning for us in this series? Knowing that you do have a place where you are loved. For us, we hope that your families are a place that you are loved. To have a place where you know you're a part of something bigger. To know that you can serve others and make a difference, no matter what age you are in. And just the sharing of stories, or the seeing of a beautiful thing in nature, or in other words, so many things. But our topic today is family. Does your family bring meaning to your life? I hope it does. There are times when I have met people or have times that I certainly maybe have felt that there were moments in my upbringing that maybe it wasn't so meaningful that day. It could have been better off somewhere else. But let me share you about the difference, I think, in my heart anyway. And I think our hope is that there is a difference between just having something that's happy to you and something that's meaningful to you. This summer, David and I have been moving from a two-level house after 21 years and to a one-level house. And in that process, we discovered many things of the boys. You know, the collections of trophies. Trophy for soccer, a trophy for baseball, a trophy for basketball, back to soccer again, two more for baseball, or for most congeniality, or for the most funny person on the team are one after the other. And so, you know, like this one, I mean, I don't even know what it's for, but it was first. You know? And so, you know, we talked to our boys and we said, so we found all your trophies. What do you want us to do with them? What trophies? You know, from, and then I gave the list and things like that. No, that was then and now is now. You can, don't worry about it. But every single one of them was a sense of pride and joy and happiness and party and balloons and cake and whatever. But then there was another thing we found. It wasn't in a special envelope. It wasn't in a box. It's hard to believe that this even happened, honestly, because it just fell out of something where there were papers and other things, and what fell out was this ring. You see a picture of it up there. What you can't see is that actually when the light shines on it just right, you know, and you rub it just right, then you see this. It shows you a star. Oh, my goodness. When my sister came to visit, to see the house, I held my hand out and I said, "Mary Carol, look. Look what we found." And when I opened my hand, her reaction was identical to mine when it fell out of the box and out of the stack of papers. Oh, it's not lost. You found it. Why would there be a different reaction? Oh, Mom, my trophy, is it lost? Thank goodness you found it. Well, you can't wear it on your finger, for one thing. But besides that, is that the ring, you see, there's my dad and there's my mom. Certainly before five kids picture of Mom and Dad. And then to the right is the picture of five kids. Do you have pictures in your family? Get everyone lined up for a family picture and the smiles are just right and you take the picture, right? And then you come out with that because it didn't quite make it in time. You see, there's John, my youngest brother, looking one way, my sister with her hat, you know, giggling about something, my second brother over my head is like grumbling about something, and then my oldest brother, who was always perfect. We got that message. But you can see me looking off into the stars or something with the funky hat. But anyway, what you can see, and on the next page, is David's family up the top left and mine at the bottom right, the Beechers and the Ackers. We couldn't take the same picture today. We could take much of it and maybe a few more people. But there's a noticeable number of folks who are no longer in those pictures, to be in those pictures, family. Why did we like this? Why did it make us go, "Ah, you found it. It's not lost." See, my dad gave it to my mother. It wasn't her birthday. It wasn't Valentine's Day. It wasn't Christmas. It wasn't Thanksgiving. It wasn't for anything she had done or to make up for something that he had done wrong. It was just, "Here, I love you." My dad was not one that was much showing of affection at all. And so for that, it brought us into Mom and Dad and our family, and that our family meant something to us growing up with all the battering and all the bruises and all the joy and all the laughter, but it was still family. So what we have are two women that are going to tell you even very much specifics, but I thought we'd have just a little bit of fun. How do we learn what a family is like? Let's see some examples that we live in. Yell out either the name of the show or the people or anything like that. First, we have Family Circus. When we sing the hymns, I think it's best for me to just be a listener. I think some of you might think you're just a listener, but you really could be doing that. So, you know, just give that a shot. All right, what is this one from? All right, be bold. Yeah, all in the family, both families. Goldbergs, that's right. Family Guy. Incredibles and Modern Family. And then we have a sort of look at what Norman Rockwell's painting of the family at Thanksgiving. Everybody smiling, dressed up, turkey is perfect. But then oftentimes we're now more of the picture on the bottom right. We're not the only church that wants to lift up and strengthen families. Just looking at a whole series of sites just to see what other churches are doing is that if you went and just said, "Church program on families," that was probably about 1/100th of what you could find very quickly. Churches long to be that connection for people in lifting up their families. And there's good reason for that. Over almost three decades and 2.2 million young people in the United States interviewed by this particular institute came up with 40 developmental assets, 40 things that in childhood and adolescence, if these things happen, then that person has a better chance of feeling connected to other people, connected to serving in the world, connecting to positive things, 40 developmental assets. And among them are things that the church is the ideal place for it to happen, for there to be positive communication, for there to be support, for there to be a climate around a person that lets them know they are loved and they belong, to help them learn and have places of service to others, to be creative, to have people of different generations know and love you. The church, it's a good thing for the church to do. We're going to run through some other slides very quickly just to show you that we bathe in there's so much about family that's in the Bible to honor father and mother. And I do like the one, fathers, do not provoke your children so they will not become discouraged. Boy, my brothers and sister and I were so glad to find that scripture in the Bible. But we all, as parents, as loved ones in this congregation, we want to know that good things are going into all of our minds and that we will listen to such. We want to be a meaningful family together. As we fly through these, you're not even going to have the time to read them all, but these are just snapshots of this congregation, and I could have kept going and provide many, many more, but how they're living out, and we feel like we're living out God's word. As you just... Some of you might see a younger version of yourself. Put that one in there and called it a family photo because that's a personal family photo of mine that happened this summer. A gift group came over to our house and helped us unload 21 years of an attic. So thank you, family, for doing that. We have wonderful gifts here at this church, strength, beauty, and depth to give to families, to help families, and Melissa's going to zero in. Thank you, Melissa.
I love hearing about people's family. I like to watch their faces, especially their eyes, as they're magically transported back in time to the story that they're telling. Listening to middle schoolers tell stories about their families is sometimes humorous as they try to explain that an aunt... well, she's not actually my aunt, but she was my mom's roommate in college. Or wait, maybe she met her in middle school. I don't actually know how she knows her, but I know we just call her aunt. Whether you have a big family or a small family, we all have those people that are not exactly related to us, but we call them family anyway. We might not even know how they became family because they've always just been there. But we know that they love us and we love them. Growing up, my grandparents on both sides of my family passed away either before I was born or when I was very young. God blessed me with wonderful people in my life that took care of me like a grandparent would. Since my brother is 17 years older than I am, I was young when he got married. And I instantly loved his wife Becky's family, especially her parents. They treated me like their granddaughter from the moment they met me. Melissa, you don't have to call us Mr. and Mrs. Wolf. You can call us Mimi and Poppy. I was always so excited when they came to visit. I knew there would be laughing and funny stories and lap-sitting time. That was my favorite, to climb up in Poppy's lap and listen to his stories. Poppy was a pastor, and his stories were always fantastic. He made every Bible story seem like new every time he told it. He was always interested in what was going on in my young life, and anything that was a big deal to me was instantly a big deal to him. 2 weeks ago, I spoke to our middle school families about growing their faith through Faith 5. I learned about Faith 5 when I was in certification school, and I was a huge fan from the moment that I learned about it, not only because it's easy to teach and implement, but because it's how Jesus did his ministry. It's called Faith 5 because it has five easy steps: share, read, talk, pray, bless. It works like this. Everyone shares something great that happened that day or in that week, and something not so great. These are your highs and lows. You read a story or a scripture together from the Bible. Talk about how that story or verse had meaning in your life or relates to your highs and lows. You pray for one another, and you bless each other before you go. A simple cross on the forehead and a reminder that you are a child of God. It's just that simple. But if done consistently, I promise your family will feel closer and more connected. Jesus spent most of his life with his disciples. The group became family to one another. I can only imagine the conversations they had about the things they saw, the people they met, the issues they questioned. Jesus' relationship with his disciples was based on an intimate knowledge of each person's strengths, weaknesses, questions, and fears. They knew so much about each other from the time they spent sharing and listening and talking with each other. Jesus taught the disciples through his actions, stories that he told, and miracles they witnessed. We are blessed to have these teachings written in the Bible for us to learn from today. We have numerous devotions on an infinite number of topics available at our fingertips. Reading a short story or a devotion together can be impactful for the whole family because everyone gets to share what it meant to them. How powerful it is that an adult can learn from a younger person's point of view. I love hearing how Scripture impacts our middle and high school students because I often get to hear a point of view that I had not considered before. People are often afraid to pray in front of other people. I totally understand that, because when I first started working at church, I did not like to pray in front of people. I didn't mind sharing my thoughts and feelings about Scripture, but I felt vulnerable when I had to pray in front of others. Praying for others brings people together in such a special way. Hearing someone else lift you up in prayer and knowing that they will be praying and thinking for you during the week can't help but make your burden just a little lighter. Jesus taught his disciples to pray and prayed with them countless times. This family believes in the power of prayer. Sometimes it's all we can do for each other. As humans, we want to help each other in some way, and I know that in the past, in times of trouble, people have asked what they can do for me, and I've said, just pray. My favorite part of the lesson 2 weeks ago was when I watched my middle school students bless their parents. The simple act of the students placing a cross on the parents' head, brought tears to my eyes. Pastor Miriam walked over to me and gently placed a cross on my forehead and reminded me that I too was a child of God, and I did the same for her. I had such a sense of peace that washed over me. Sometimes I really do need a reminder that I am a child of God, and he has me no matter what. So there you have it, Faith 5, a simple way to bring your family closer to God. When I think back to why I loved spending that time with my Poppy, I think it was because our time together was exactly what Faith 5 represents. Getting to know each other on a deeper level, showing how important it is to love and care for one another, and lifting each other up in prayer. It's amazing how 5 simple steps can bring a family closer to God and closer to each other.
So Melissa has told you about Faith 5. I'm going to talk about another important 5. In children and family ministry and in youth ministry, we hear a lot about the 5-to-1 ratio. You think, oh, yeah, that makes sense. 1 adult to every 5 kids, probably a good rule of thumb for small groups, supervision, etc. Yeah, no, that's not what it means. Every child or youth should have at least 5 non-related adults who know them and are invested in their lives. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest this isn't just good for the kids. I think it applies to everyone. Who out there has too many people who care about them? Now, we don't need to limit the influential people in our lives to people at church, but what if we had 5 here at church? Last week, our faith exploration lesson was about Abraham and his descendants and how we are adopted into God's family. As a church, we are the living, working presence of God's family to one another. As a church family, we get to celebrate the good news of the risen Christ and his action in our lives. And as a community, we impact lives internally and externally as the body of Christ, but we also have this opportunity to personally walk together through joys and struggles. Church can be this kind of extended family because it offers a safe place and unique opportunities for these kinds of meaningful relationships to flourish. Where else can you find a mixed-age brass band, a high school student and recent retiree delivering lunches together, a 5-year-old eager to give stickers out to the people around him during the sharing of the peace? We also have intentional opportunities to build relationships like the college care ministry or intergenerational prayer partner connections, small groups, Bible studies, fellowship events, all kinds of activities to connect with one another. When I was in my 20s, I remember we moved around a lot, and when we would land someplace new, I would look trying to choose people that I thought I could really connect with. That really meant she seems kind of like me. Eventually, it dawned on me how much I really appreciated the friendships I had with people that grew out of circumstances, kind of accidental friendships with people who maybe were nothing like me. Here at Christ Our Shepherd, we have a lot in common, but when we connect a little deeper, we will find different backgrounds, different experiences, different points of view, fascinating stories. Those relationships have the power to humble us, to make us more compassionate, to help us understand others, to strengthen our faith. Those relationships will help us live in the world with more grace.
Thank you, Ellen and Melissa, very much. Melissa was telling us, and then Ellen added a story in 2 situations where their children themselves, in each case their daughter, at the end of what they had been going through, basically said this: what does a person do? What do they do without a congregation, without a church? To have other people love them, even if they're not their family at home. So thank you, family of God. And if you had to read between the lines just to make sure you got it, is that it's the family of God and bringing kids and young people to church that really do strengthen and make a more positive, happy, and meaningful life.